John chapter 6, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Let's start reading in verse number 47. We've spent some time in this chapter the last couple of Sundays, and I'd like to start reading in verse number 47. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Then he makes a statement. He said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." That statement means a lot to me because I know how prevalent in our day that Calvinism is. And people will say that Jesus just died for the elect or a select few. But I want you to know this bread came down for the whole world. And anybody can feast this morning that wants to feast on the bread of life. You can be seated. Please pray for us. Father, thank you for the privilege, the blessed privilege to open a Bible and know, Lord, of a surety that it is your word. God, I pray this morning, Lord, for that sweet liberty to preach and to sweet liberty of the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been so good to us in the song service. And Lord, you've stirred us in our heart. Lord, we come today to worship you because, God, you're worthy. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would make yourself real to someone in this service today, that they might understand, our Father, that hunger that they have in their soul, that it can be satisfied, but not with the things of this world. God, I pray this morning that you would just clothe us in our calling. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We have been looking in the chapter at some different things. We looked at the feeding of the 5,000, and then we looked over there last week where Jesus said, it was Resurrection Sunday, said three times in just a few verses, and then he says it again over later in the chapter. He said that I will raise him up at the last day, and he said that. We concentrated on that phrase last Sunday, I will raise him up again in the last day. And today I want to look at the bread of life and just think about some things as we look at this scripture together that I hope and I trust will be a blessing in our hearts and lives this morning. In John chapter 6, we see really three things that are being magnified here. We see a miracle on earth in the feeding of the 5,000. And of course, we know that that's 5,000 men. We established that probably more like 15,000 to 20,000 to 25,000 people that Jesus fed that day. And then we see the manna from heaven. If you'll look at verse number 31, the Bible said here, the Jews, you know, they thought this, they had it figured out. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So you see the miracle on earth feeding the 5,000. You see the manna from heaven feeding God's people in the wilderness. But in John chapter 6, I believe we've missed it if we don't see the master. There are a lot of people that are looking at the miracle and a lot of people are looking at the manna, but they're missing the master that's standing right in front of them. I don't know. I was thinking this morning, wouldn't it be good to be in such a place that my belly could be hungry? Just picture me sitting among the 5,000 men. Wouldn't it be good to be in such a place that though I were hungry, I was so overwhelmed by watching the Master break two little fishes and the five loaves and distributing among the people. I don't read that in the Bible, but it's almost like kind of like hogs under an oak tree. They're eating acorns and they never look up to see where they come from. They missed the master. And I believe that's one of the things that's going on in our lives and in our churches today. We get so, I guess, overwhelmed by the blessing that we miss the blesser. And we don't realize that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. I believe that the Lord wants to speak to our hearts about some parallels here between the feeding of the 5,000 and this discourse on the bread of life. I had the privilege years ago, I went to a church, and I still preach revival in that church. It's a little town called Caven Rock, Illinois. You go across, I get on a ferry, I've pulled my truck and camper right up in the middle of the ferry many times. Miss Eve and I went across the river, and you get off. The population of the town is 350. It's a big town. I remember the first time I got off, I chuckled because I thought, this gives you a sign, Caven Rock, population 350. And then you had this big sign up there that said Caven Rock Space Center. And I thought, my goodness, amen, they've got a space program in a town of 350, only to figure out that that was the name of the storage units, okay, the Caven Rock Space Center, amen. I'm telling you, I'm just a country boy, but I was overwhelmed. I met this pastor, and that pastor's in heaven now, and he and his wife wanted to take my wife and I to a place called Lambert's in Sikeston, Missouri. If you ever go through Missouri and you don't go to Lambert's, you've got a problem, amen? I'm telling you, I didn't know anything about it. He just grinned at his wife and said, we're going to go where they throw you the rolls. And I said, excuse me? He said, that's right, preacher. He said, when you want a roll, you just hold your hand up. And he said, they throw you the rolls. There's rolls flying everywhere in there. If you drop it, that's okay. They just throw you another one. And I didn't understand what was going on. But Brother Preston, they would throw you the roll, and I'm telling you, they were good. There has to be some of them at the marriage of the Lamb. Amen? I don't think we'll be throwing them, but I believe there'll be some there. They were good. I get excited about rolls in heaven because in heaven you can have the rolls without the rolls. Somebody help me. Amen? Down here, the rolls put on rolls. Amen? But let me give you this. I believe when I'm thinking about bread, that one of the reasons the restaurants want you to have plenty of bread is because they don't want you to leave the restaurant unsatisfied. They want you to be satisfied. Can I say something? Jesus gives a discourse in John chapter number 6 on the bread of life because I believe it's his desire that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl understands how they can be satisfied in this world that we live in and in that world that he's going to prepare for us. I'm telling you, beloved, the things of this world will never satisfy the longing of a man's soul. Only the bread of life, the living bread, that bread that God sent down from heaven, only that bread can take care of a man's innermost need and feed him in his soul. I believe this morning that many people will go to church today. They will come through the doors unsatisfied, and they will leave unsatisfied. But can I tell you, that will never be the Lamb of God's fault. He wants you to be satisfied. He wants you, beloved, to partake of this living bread that you can live forever in his presence. in the place that he's gone to prepare for us called heaven. I believe that there's a parallel between the feeding of the 5,000 and this discourse that he gives on the bread of life. And let me give you some things that the Lord spoke to my heart about. Number one, there's a great need among the multitude. That evening, the day was far spent, the Bible said. There was a great need. People were, they were to the place where they were about to faint, and they didn't have anything to eat. Can I tell you today, beloved, listen, there is a great physical need in the world, but there's a greater spiritual need in the world that we live in. The need of the new birth, a need of satisfaction in the heart, a need of knowing Jesus in the free pardon of sin. I just want to give you a couple things quickly. I'm not going to go too far into this. But you think about the need in America. A lot of people says, well, what we need is a wall. Well, let me just say this. What we need is a Bible. Because the Bible would tell us that God intended over in the book of Deuteronomy that nations have borders. Say amen. Somebody said, well, what we need is to stop abortion. No, what we need is a Bible. Because the Bible would tell us that God's got his eyes on that little baby before it's ever born. Amen? He said, preacher, what we need is a law against drunk driving. No, what we need is a Bible. Amen? And God would show us in the Bible, beloved, that we don't need to be in a drunken stupor. Amen? I said, what we need is to figure out what to do with people that don't want to get married and people want to marry the same sex and all that stuff. No, what we need is a Bible. If we had a spiritual awakening, it would take care of all the rest of the needs. Amen. And someone said America's great because America's good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. All at the same time. Amen. God is telling us there's a great need among the multitude. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the drug culture is rampant. The sex culture is rampant. It's rampant in our nation. It's rampant right here at home now. It used to be the big cities. It's come to the country. Amen. The sin has come to the country. And much of it is because people are looking in the wrong place to get this need met. They need to look to Jesus, the Son of God. Let me give you this, and when we parallel the two, not only is there a great need among the multitude, but the source of bread is the same in the feeding of the 5,000 and in the discourse on the bread of life. Jesus is the source of bread. Beloved, listen, you can say whatever you want to. That little boy's lunch was wonderful. It was wonderful that it was surrendered to the Lord. But without the Lord breaking it, without the Lord blessing it, it could not have helped one person, beloved, much, let alone 5,000 men. And I'm telling you today, beloved, listen, we need to understand this in our church. Whatever we do, we need God to bless it. We need God to break it. We need God to multiply it. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Steve, they're over there ministering to those people today. But if it gets the blessing of God on it, it'll go a lot further than a man's belly and satisfying his physical need. I believe the Bible's teaching us there's a great need among the multitude. There's a source of bread, and it's the same in both stories. And I'm going to give you this. I think this is important. When Jesus is feeding the 5,000 and Jesus is meeting the need of the multitudes today, he does not use what this little boy does not have. He uses what this little boy has. I think a lot of people are caught in this trap. Well, if I just had the talent so-and-so has. Let me tell you something. God will never hold you accountable for the talent that so-and-so has or the ability that so-and-so has. God, beloved, listen, everybody has something to offer this King of Kings that's coming again. Amen. And God wants to use what we have. He's not concerned with what we don't have. He's concerned with what we have. And he wants to use what we have to reach the multitudes that are in need. I want to say this, in both of these, there's plenty to meet the need.
You realize when Jesus had those disciples pass out the bread and the fish, that there were, everybody got, the Bible said, full. I said full. I believe they got full, don't you? I don't believe they wanted another bite. Amen. They were satisfied. And Jesus said, take up the fragments. I'm just telling you, beloved, that according to verse number 51, this is the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm telling you, there is plenty of bread to meet the need. Beloved, let me just say this morning. The problem's not a shortage of bread. The problem's a shortage of appetite. Amen. People have an appetite for the TV and they have an appetite for the things of this world, but they don't have an appetite for the things of God. I don't know about you, but you try to feed a baby that doesn't have an appetite, and that baby will spit it right back out at you. I found out a while ago, Brother Paul's not feeling well. Got something going on in his stomach. He'd been up all night. He doesn't want anything to eat this morning. Talked to somebody not long ago. I believe it was you, Brother Joe. You had just eaten a piece of toast that morning and couldn't even keep down a piece of toast. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you can set the nicest meal in the world in front of somebody, but if they don't have an appetite, then they're not going to partake of that meal. I'm glad, thank God, after 20 years in this world and 6.5 years of church membership, I'm glad I didn't find anything in this world that would satisfy my appetite. I didn't find anything in the church alone that would satisfy my appetite. It took Jesus to satisfy that hunger in my soul. Beloved, there's plenty to meet the need. Jesus gave himself for the life of the world. Let me give you this, the parallel between the two. The Lord uses people. Watch this now. Don't miss this, please. We're coming upon the first Saturday, and we're going to have, I'll give you flour if you'll come. Some of you can give out flyers, and others give out flowers, amen. Don't matter. I'm just aggravating Brother Brian, amen. Amen. But let me say this to you. I know my God well enough to know. Listen to me carefully. He spoke the world into existence. Is that right? Brother Steve, he could have just said that day, fish, and everybody had fish right in their lap. He could have just said that day, bread. And everybody had bread right in their lap. How many believe that? Here's what I want you to see. God uses people to pass out the bread. I'm glad for those two deacons. Knocked on my door when I was 18 and 19 years old and living like a devil. I'm glad. I know this. They're both in glory right now. They both were carrying. Nowadays when you say somebody's carrying, that usually means they got a pistol in their pocket. They both were carrying. They were carrying bread. You know what a soul winner is? That's just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. That's all it is, amen. And it amazes me. It amazes me. You look at the disciples. You look at the doubt that some of them had in their heart. And you look at where they were. But God still used them. Listen to me. If you ever get to the place where you're not amazed by the fact that God would use the likes of you and I, then you're full of pride. I'm amazed that he would use the likes of me. I don't deserve it. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart, the Lord is still... You say, preacher, that was the disciples. Well, it just means a follower of Jesus. How many believe we're supposed to be following Jesus? Amen. Beloved, we're talking about the bread of life. Jesus put these stories in the book of John that we might believe. That believing we might have life through his name. He wants us to be saved and he wants us to have life abundantly. He wants us, beloved, to be used, to be instruments in the hands of an almighty God. The Lord uses people to distribute the bread in order to be satisfied. You know, I think back to that experience at Lambert's. I ordered a meal. I can't remember what it was, but I carried the meal home. You say, "Preacher, why did you carry the meal home?" Because I was full before the meal got to the table. I only ate 3 rolls, but you got to understand they were big as a softball, and I am not exaggerating. And you got to understand that not only did this restaurant throw you a roll, but they laid a paper towel down in front of you. And somebody would be by and put some fried taters on it. And then somebody, y'all know what taters are, don't you? Okay. And then somebody come by and put some fried maters down on it. And then somebody come by and put some fried okra down on it. And I mean, it only took about 20 to 30 minutes to get your meal. This place was full. But I was full. They set it down in front of me and I said, "What am I going to do with that?" They said, "Most people get a box." And that's what I did. What would it be like to have a prayer life where we left the prayer closet so full? What would it be like to have a church going life where we come to the house of God so hungry and left so full? What would it be like? You know, listen to me carefully. I'm not preaching to y'all. I'm preaching to me as much as I am to anybody. But you know what? I believe one of the reasons, there are many reasons sometimes that a child won't eat. But one of the main reasons they won't eat is they've eaten too much junk food. Would somebody help me? Somebody says, "Why can't we have it like we did in the old days?" I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't as much junk food in the world in the old days. There wasn't no such thing as watching TV 40, 50 hours a week. Amen? People had to work. People needed one another. Neighbors were neighbors. Nowadays, you can have people on both sides of you and behind you and not even know their first name. The Lord uses people. In order to be satisfied, the bread must be eaten. They throw you that roll and you set it down in front of you and say, "Boy, ain't that pretty." It ain't going to satisfy you. It wouldn't matter if you set 3 of them down or 4 of them down or 5 of them down. If you don't pick it up and you don't eat it, it's not going to satisfy the hunger. Jesus, let me just say this. He's already set the table. And he says, "Whosoever will, let him come. I've got you something to eat, and I've got you something to drink." That's what the Bible's talking about here. "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." That's what he's teaching us. He set the table, and he says, "Come, come, come." In order to be satisfied, the bread must be eaten. Those are some parallels that the Lord spoke to my heart about between the feeding of the 5,000 and the discourse on the bread of life. Let me give you a major contrast or a major difference. Miss Eve, I think it was about an hour and 15 minute or hour and 20 minute ride from where we had that meeting over to Lambert's, maybe an hour and a half. Here's the major contrast. You see, in the feeding of the 5,000, they got full at that time, but it didn't last long. When we got in there, I didn't do it, but when we got in that pastor's car, it was only an hour and a half ride home. And if I'd have had my way, and my wife would have let me, I'd opened that box and I was already craving something else that was in that box. And it was only an hour and a half drive back to town where the church was. How many believes that's right? You can get a good meal, but it doesn't last long. And the difference between the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus, the bread of life, the major contrast is Jesus says, I have some bread that'll last you forever. He that cometh to me will never hunger. He that cometh to me, believeth on me, shall never thirst. I've got something that'll do you. I've got something that'll satisfy you. The bread of heaven, that the Savior gives, will last for eternity. I didn't realize this until this week, studying. I guess I knew it, but I had never thought about it in this light. I believe it was Samson in the Old Testament. Didn't they have him grinding at the mill when they gouged his eyes out? That's right, isn't it? Doing the work of an ox. They had a big stone on top of a big stone, and there was an arm that was tied to it out here, and that ox would walk around, and in so doing, it would turn that stone in the middle, and they would throw that grain up in there, and it would crush that grain, make meal out of it, make flour out of it. How many's got that picture? I want you to get this picture. When Jesus went to Calvary, he was crushed so that we could have bread. The grain had to be crushed. Not only that, then it's got to be baked. It's got to be put in an oven. You say, preacher, I don't understand how that would have anything to do with Jesus. Isaiah 48:10 said, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I just want to say this, and I believe you all will agree with me. Nobody that's ever walked the face of this earth ever suffered like Jesus did. I believe the furnace of affliction for Jesus was worse than anybody else. He took our sin in his body. The Word of God said he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know about you this morning, but when you just pull into a restaurant, you pull up to the table, there at Lambert's, you raise your hand, they throw you a roll. I wasn't thinking about the grain that had to be crushed. I wasn't thinking about how hot it had to be in that oven. But I believe this morning we're missing a blessing when we can stand and say, praise God, I'm saved, and yes, I'm saved. Hallelujah. But we're missing a blessing when we have the bread in our heart and don't concentrate on what it took for Jesus to become the bread of life so that you and I could live forever. Over there in the Old Testament, the manna came down. The Bible said, Numbers 11:8, the people went about and they gathered it and they ground it in the mills. Or they beat it in a mortar. They baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. You know what the Bible said? Listen to me this morning. How many of y'all like a good piece of bread? Man, I'm telling you. Mama used to make some bread and it was simple. She called it pone bread. Some people call it wheat bread. It was a simple recipe, and when she had six kids, and she would do it often. I like beans on top of cornbread, but I also like beans on top of that bread Mama made. It had a crust on it. I could close my eyes and taste it. It was so good. But the Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Somebody sitting here today, He said, "Preach, I had no idea what y'all get so hyped up about. You would if you taste and see how good God is. You'd be thrilled that that same God that became bread so that we could be satisfied is that same King that's coming. He's coming for me." I want to give you this, and I'm closing this morning. This happened in India. John A. Patton recorded it. It is told of Sadhu Sundar Singh that many years ago he was distributing gospels in the central provinces of India. And he came to some non-Christians on the railway train, and he offered a man a copy of John's gospel. The man took it. He tore it in pieces in anger and threw the pieces out the window. That seemed the end, but it so happened that in the providence of God, there was a man anxiously seeking for truth walking along the line that very day. And he picked up as he walked along the line, the railroad there, a little bit of paper, and he looked at it. And the words on it in his own language were, "The bread of life." He did not know what it meant. So he inquired among his friends, and one of them said, "I can tell you, it's out of that Christian book. You must not read it or you will be defiled." The man thought for a moment, then said, "I want to read the book that contains such a beautiful phrase." And he bought a copy of the New Testament. He was shown where the sentence occurred, our Lord's words, "I am the bread of life." And as he studied the gospel, the light flooded into his heart. And he came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He became a preacher of the gospel in the central province of India. That little bit of paper, through God's Holy Spirit, was indeed the bread of life that satisfied that man's deepest need. You say, "Preacher, you can't believe a story like that." Oh, I can. I met a man personally. God had that man there in India pick up that little piece of the New Testament that said bread of life on it. He could have had him, Brother Thurman, maybe pick up a little piece that said born again. And just inquired about that. What's that mean? He could have had him pick up a little piece that said, "For God so loved the world." All that's in the book of John. But he picked up that little piece that said, "Bread of life." All I'm trying to say is the Holy Spirit could have used anything in the book of John to get him inquiring. But he picked up that little piece, "Bread of life." Right now in St. Louis, Missouri, or at least the last time I had an account, there's a young man that's pastoring a church. Let me tell you how he got saved. I'm asking this question because some do not know. How many knows what a chick track is, a chick gospel track? If you know what that is, raise your hand. Okay? How many don't know? Raise your hand. How many are not awake? Because really, I mean, it's 50-50. It should have been one way or the other. Your hand should have went up. Amen. But the chick tracks have little cartoons, little stories in them. And they address all kinds of subjects. I mean, they address different cults. They address the new birth. They address baptism. They address all kinds of subjects. And it'll be just like a conversation, just like you were reading it in a little pictorial story. This man was in prison. Somebody came through in the prison ministry giving out those tracts. Brother Sam, a guy took that tract and he wadded it up. Another guy saw him do it, the guy that's a pastor now, and he threw it in the trash can. This man went behind him. And he got it out. of the trash can. And he ironed it out with his hand. I heard him testify in one of our conferences. And he read it. And he fell down beside of his bunk in a prison cell. Said, God, I need you to save me. You know what he did? He got some living bread. The Rock of Ages, Brother Adam, they wanted that man so bad. They all they could think was how effective he would be going back into those prisons and telling that story and reaching men for Christ. But he started a church. I said he started a church. He wanted to reach the street people in St. Louis, the people that others would probably not want to have much to do with. And God has blessed him through the years, all because the bread of life was contained in a gospel message. Beloved, don't miss the master. The message is wonderful. As long as it's pointing people to the master, we need the master. We need the bread of life. God put this in here that we might believe. The children of Israel ate manna in the wilderness, and they still died. These people ate bread over here and fish, and they still died. But Jesus said, look at verse number 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Let me just give you this morning. I'm done. Brother Adam, if y'all get ready. You say, preacher, I don't understand how Jesus could say a man could eat this bread and not die. And the Bible said in the Hebrews, I believe it's in chapter 10. I'm not sure. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'll tell you how Jesus could say that. Jesus is not referring to physical death here. He's referring to spiritual death. You see, for the Christian to close our eyes in death, the body, yes, dies. But the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Just that quick. We close our eyes here and we open our eyes there. And we're with Jesus. I don't know about you this morning. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I take him at his word, don't you? Thank God this morning. Brother Steve, for something called pizza. Some sauce and cheese and a little bit of meat on some bread. That'll satisfy the tummy for a little while. But I want to thank my God for a man called Jesus. The bread of heaven that'll satisfy for eternity. Let's stand together this morning.